Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to RMB Morgan Stanley's teleconference with Life Healthcare. All participants will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. If you should need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and a zero. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Roy Campbell. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us this afternoon as we host Life Healthcare Management ahead of their FY17 close period. We've got Stefan de Vesthaven, the acting CEO, and Adam Powell, the Group Strategy and Investor Relations Executive. Adam and Pierre, thank you very much for your time. I'm going to hand it over to Adam to do the introduction. Thank you.
Thank you, Roy. And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Life Healthcare pre-close call for 2017. I will do a brief intro before handing over to the acting CEO, Peter van der Vesthaven. And we'll just, for the purpose of this call, is just briefly cover the performance of the group in the second half and provide an update in that regard. This is a brief recap. At the interims in May this year, as regarding South Africa, we had said that we expected to see continued PPD pressure in the nature of the market due to a number of factors. We said that we still expected to see good growth in our complementary division and that we would be a little more circumspect in terms of how we added beds into the market. On the international side of our business, we said with Alliance Medical, we expected to continue to see good growth in Alliance Medical across the variety of the different territories. Within Poland, the key focus is going to be in the contracting period we entered with the NMZ and the new contracts. And then with India, the focus was really about optimizing the different revenue streams and networks and focusing on costs. We did raise a few concerns regarding some of the regulatory headwinds that were coming across in India. And finally, we stated that the IFC had intended to dispose of their stake. So that was the outlook that we gave at the interims. I will now hand over to Peter to go through how we have progressed in the second half.
Okay, thank you very much, Adam. And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. In terms of our Southern Africa operations, we've seen that our PPD growth, as highlighted in the first half, has been negatively impacted by a variety of factors. We were minus 1% in the first half. And from a guidance perspective, we're saying 1.7 to minus 2.4% for the full year. And if you remember correctly, we had benefited from the Easter being in the second half, so our first half numbers was low, not as low as we've indicated at the end of February at minus 2.6, only coming at minus 1%. So we have had experienced better growth in the second half. The one region that's been very negatively impacted was the KZN region with circa minus 4.5% down for the full year, and that impacted on the group basis. The rest of the country is minus 1% on average. Occupancies remain under pressure with the negative PPDs. And as Adam stated, we've been circumspect in terms of the number of beds that we've added. We've guided that roughly about 200 beds for the full year. At the moment, we're standing at around 120 beds. There's one facility that's only going to be operationalized in the second quarter of 2018, which we haven't completed yet. On the regulatory front in Southern Africa, there's continuous extensive engagement with the HMI, and specifically on the profitability analysis. We do expect provisional findings in the recommended report to be published by 15 November. On NHI, Life Healthcare supports the underlying goals of the universal healthcare, and we're working with the various stakeholders in this process. Just then on a CEO recruitment process, the board is busy with the CEO recruitment process, and we expect that to be completed by the end of the calendar year. On Alliance Medical, firstly, in the UK, we've noted the decline in NHS volumes as indicated by other private hospital operators in the UK. We will keep a close watch on this, but from our perspective, we haven't seen volume impacts from an NHS perspective. What we have experienced is the increased competition in the mobile business with competitors adding additional capacity in the market, and that resulted in increased pricing pressure on the mobile side. In addition, we've signed additional 2 community diagnostic centers, bringing the total now to 8, with more than 20 in the pipeline still that we're working on. And we expect the first CDCs to be opened in the first half of 2018. On molecular imaging, or MI, the rollout of the PET CT program continues, and it will be completed in the first half of 2018. We're seeing good growth in PET CT volumes. Ireland and Italy have made progress in line with our expectations, and Northern Europe has performed well, with the specific being impacted by the ECHA and Deadlift Cyclotron division that we acquired in May of 2017. In Poland, the new ANFZ contract has been successfully completed, with 85% of our revenue already secured, and we're confident that the remaining 15% with the NHS or NFZ will be secured. The contract is effectively for 4 years. Remember correctly, the second half will be impacted by the cardiology tariff reductions in January of 2017. In India, the revenue in EBITDA growing at circa 10%, and we've seen good growth in our pathology and oncology lines of business. The EBITDA numbers will be impacted by the regulatory headwinds with the strengthened OPPD price controls that's implemented and extended maternity leave benefits for staff. We have also concluded the acquisition of the IFC stake, or our 50% of that, for 432 million rand. This increased shareholding enables Life Healthcare to protect its existing shareholders' rights. In terms of the financial numbers, revenue guidelines for Southern Africa will be a range of between 3.5 to 4.5%, with up in March was 4.7%. The increased revenue is mainly because of the active case management by medical aids has negatively impacted the increased revenue growth. Complementary service continue to show very good growth, and our healthcare services division has benefited from the return of the mental health patients in Gauteng. Normalized EBITDA margins is impacted by the decrease in acute PPDs and lower occupancies and increased network discounts for volumes. Normalized EBITDA margin guidance is between 25 to 26% for South Africa. Alliance Medical, for a like-for-like comparison, their September 2016 12-month period to September 2017 12-month period has shown very good revenue growth of between 9 to 14%. It's mainly driven by the PET CT volumes in the UK and Northern Europe. And then the UK or the Northern Europe acquisition that's been concluded in May of 2017. The EBITDA margin is impacted by the upfront cost on the PET CT and the impact of the increased competition on the mobile business margins, as indicated earlier. The normalized EBITDA margin guidance for Alliance for the full year will be between 25 to 26%. ScanMed, Polish operations, has shown improved revenue growth in H2, and EBITDA margin has been impacted by cardiology tariff reductions. EBITDA margin for the current year has been impacted by bad debt write-off as highlighted in the H1 results. Excluding this margin, excluding this impact of the bad debt, the margin for ScanMed will be between 6 to 9%. On a group basis, the revenue growth of between 22 to 26% is largely due to the acquisition of AMG, and normalized EBITDA margin on a group basis is slightly lower because the margin in all the territories is lower. At the first half, we are 25.1%, and guidance will be for the group basis between 24 to 25%. And then just a few items in addition to that, the once-off items that's largely related to the AMG transaction will be between 500 to 520 million. At the half, it was 309 million rand. And then the impact of a debt replaced with the equity, if you remember correctly, we funded the AMG transaction with a combination of a bridge that we took out into equity and also a debt. The equity component's impact of, on the interest line has been 435 million rand for the period under review. I will hand you back now to Adam just to talk you through of when we will release our annual results and also investor engagement.
Thank you, Peter. So just in terms of time frame and schedule, we'll release a trading update in early November. Our results come out on the 21st of November. We'll be doing webcasts at 10 o'clock. We'll put out a SENS at just after 7 o'clock that morning. We will then go on a roadshow with Johannesburg on the 22nd of November. We'll do Cape Town on the 23rd and part of 24th of November. We'll be in the US on the 30th of November and 1st of December, and then London on the 4th and 5th of December. In addition, we have as regards, we have a couple of slides from today's call, which will be going up on our on the homepage of our website later this afternoon. We now are sort of available for any questions that anybody may have. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one on your touchtone phone or the keypad on your screen. This will place you in the question queue. If you're able to withdraw the question, you're welcome to press star and then two on your touchtone phone to remove yourself from the question queue. Just a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one. The first question comes from Kane Slotskin of UBS.
Hi there, guys. Just a question on sort of guidance. I mean, I don't know if you'll be able to give this now, maybe you'll only do the results, but I mean, are you guys actually expecting any PPD growth in the new year or in FY18? I mean, what are you seeing sort of more recently, maybe the last month or two? What sort of indication does that give you for FY18?
We'll certainly go into that a lot more detail at a result. But we certainly, we're far more optimistic about growth going into next year. And we do think we're going to see positive PPD growth. We think the KZN numbers are in the base. For going forward, and we don't think those numbers will continue into next year, and we have started to see, certainly in the last 6 weeks, improvement in those regions.
Yes, okay. And then just maybe while I'm here, just one more. On AMG, so, I mean, you're sort of saying the rollout still continuing into H1, is that what you're saying, H1 2018?
In terms of the PET-CT?
Yes.
So remember the 31 sites we have.
Yes.
In terms of contractors, 28 to 29 will be static sites, and the balance, 2 or 3 will be mobile.
Yeah.
So what they have at the moment, they've got 31 sites operational, but I think there's only about 24, 25 of them are static.
Okay.
So when we say we're completing the rollout, what we're doing is doing a conversion from a mobile unit to a static unit.
Okay. So with the margin pressure as a result of, you obviously need the volume to come through, and will that... I mean, how long will sort of the margin be impacted for going, you know, is it sort of the full FY18, or when do you sort of see a more normalised margin?
Yeah, it's 12 months. It's probably FY18. Yeah, it's just because you put it in a static site, you're starting a unit 5.5 days.
Yeah, you need the volume.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, perfect.
So the PET-CT volumes we have seen have been good.
Yeah.
Sort of in line with what we've expected.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
The next question comes from Matthew Menez of Citi.
Hi, thanks for the call. So, two questions, please. First is just to get clarity on AMG margins. They said 25 to 26% for the full year. Is that correct? I guess by implication, if it is, you know, there was a very weak second half, I mean, 23-odd, I guess. Could you disaggregate that sort of half and half split between pricing pressure and the rollout? So we can get a little bit of colour there. And then on the CEO potential appointment, can you talk to sort of what qualities the board is after in a new CEO? Thanks.
Okay, so maybe just on the first question, Matthew, in terms of the split between the two halves, second half, as Adam has just indicated, was mainly impacted by to run out of a PET CT because then you effectively have a bit of a duplicate cost because you have a mobile unit and then you have to start up the unit and you don't get the volumes on day one. And in addition to that, the impact of a mobile business, that we've seen quite a lot of pricing pressure from the market, and therefore that did have an impact on our margin. So guidance is we said for the full year between 25 and 26, we were about 27% for the first half, or not really the first half, it was really about 5 months, four or five months. The second half is between 23 to 25%. So, and then just on the CEO process, we're busy with updating our strategy with all the macro impacts that we're seeing across the world on healthcare. The board's taking that into consideration. They also had a session with one of our biggest shareholders where they actually did discuss what the policies in the, from a shareholder perspective, that specific shareholder one. And they're looking at a CEO that can take this business going forward in terms of what our strategic plans are. More than that, I can't share with you.
Okay, thanks very much. So just to clarify, you didn't have the duplicate costs. It wasn't such an issue in the first half of the year in AMG. Well, was it an issue? It was just it didn't come through in the numbers.
It's been there, Matthew, but I mean, there's certainly, I think what you're seeing, there's certainly an impact from the mobile, the pressure in the mobile business, and that's coming through in terms of the margins. But the PET CT, what they did is they certainly converted more of the PET CT units in the second half. And just because they've just converted them, you got that pressure initially. Does that make sense?
The next question comes from Alex Turner of JP Morgan.
Just a couple of quick things. Just you talked about AMG 9 to 14% on a September to September basis. What was it? I mean, have you got the numbers on is there any way you can give some guidance on the year number as opposed to that September to September?
You're talking about the absolute number.
Yeah.
The percentage increase for November. It's like our period. It's like December to...
You're talking about December to November or November to October, Alex?
Well, yeah.
So that's also within that range. It's actually slightly more. It's between 10 and 15%.
Okay. And then just in terms of the... just a couple of things on AMG. You talked about no impact in terms of slowing NHS volumes. So you're not seeing any impact in the MRI or CT area from that then? And then
not in volumes, no.
Not in volumes. And then this is basically just a competitive issue related to price then in the UK. And how does that sort of pan out when you've got NHS tariffs? I mean, assuming most of the work he's doing is NHS. So, how do these guys, I'm not aware, how these guys come in under tariff? Or is this spot work
this is mainly spot work, Alex, on the mobile side. So the guys will come in, they've got the capacity, bring the capacity, and they go and offer the trust. They can park a truck there for a day at a 20% discount to what we're offering it at.
Okay.
And that's what they're doing. So there's been a 10 to 15% increase in capacity on the mobile side of the last sort of 6 to 9 months. And for us, that's a bigger issue than what we've can been reading about in terms of NHS volumes. It's certainly something we watch very carefully.
Who's adding the capacity?
It's one of the Alliance Medical's competitors, and then you've got some of the suppliers sort of doing some deals with other competitors, trying to pull machines into the market.
And then just in terms of South Africa, where the slowdown has been well documented, and you talked about it regionally. I just wonder, within your mix in terms of therapies, are you seeing any areas, be it orthopedics or medical cases, or where is the main area of pressure coming from the funders in terms of the clinical areas that may be seeing some pressure?
No, so Alex, in terms from that perspective, it's focused on the region, KZN region in total.
Yeah.
So it's not discipline led. So the one discipline that we're seeing across the group that's under a lot of pressure is maternity. And that's two factors. One is our recruitment of gynaecs. We need to refocus on that. We haven't been able to recruit sufficient gynaecs for the number of senior gynaecs that left the organization. And then secondly, the impact of the additional insurance on the gynaecs specifically has resulted in a number of gynaecs stopping doing obstetrics. So we've seen that our number of births is negative between 5 to 8%. And that's contrary to what should happen in the country.
Yeah, but that's consistent with H1 to H2. There hasn't been a difference in maternity.
Mm-hmm. So that must be a market share loss there, because I mean, people are still having babies at birth rates down.
I think some of it might be market share. I do think, though, that I seem to remember one of the other groups coming out in the results and saying that their maternity was also down. Maybe the TV is improving. I haven't seen it, but maybe it is.
Okay.
And then just, Alex said, so it is, I think it's more general across the board, although within that, we have continued to see growth in our mental health and acute rehab business, and renal dialysis and oncology. So complementary service continues to grow.
Okay. All right, thanks so much.
The next question comes from Shane Watkins of All Weather Capital.
Adam, hi, how are you?
I'm well, Shane, how are you doing?
Good. I think you partially answered the question I was going to ask when you spoke to Alex. I just wanted to ask you, do you see a difference sort of philosophically in the way the NHS treats imaging services versus, other more elective procedures and orthopedics? I mean, because to some degree imaging is diagnostic or preventative, and do you feel that they view these services in a different way in terms of the way they allocate funding? Because clearly it's a scarce resource, and some they'll cut back on and some they won't.
Yeah, we do see it differently, Shane, on a number of points. So first of all, we do see Alliance actually offering more as a partner with the NHS rather than as a competitor, such taking volumes away from them, firstly. And secondly, I mean, your point, Valerie, is that the diagnostic market and the overall NHS budget is relatively small. And they do understand that by cutting back on diagnostics, you're going to start creating pressures downstream, and that leads to basically more expenses and more costs for the NHS. So we do think they see diagnostics a little differently. And when we look at the PET CT numbers, I mean, those numbers we gave guidance between 12 and 14%, and those are the numbers that we see coming through. So we do think that diagnostics is something that's seen different to sort of maybe outsourcing orthopedics to other hospitals. In saying that, we have seen in different countries like Italy and Ireland, the different governments introducing measures to try and contain some of the diagnostic costs. I think in Italy they had what was called the appropriateness decree, whereby that if you wanted an MRI but you could get a similar outcome by doing something else, then you'd have to go for something else which is cheaper. But I think what we've seen, though, is that those measures last for 6 to 9 months before they get taken away, because this creates a backlog and unhappiness across the board. So, we watch very carefully what's going on. We don't have the same, I'd say, concerns as some of the hospital groups in the UK.
Okay, thank you. Can I follow up with a second question just on Max in India? You guys haven't really said anything official about plans to dispose of it. But can you just give us an idea of, maybe a timeline on your thinking about getting finality on that?
I think within the next 60 days, we will have a final conclusion of what we want to do, Shane.
Okay.
So I think that results are probably in a better position to say where we're going with our position in Max. And whatever the decision, if the decision is to say, well, if we do want to dispose of our stake, there's a process and a time frame to that. If we don't, then we'll provide that update in November in terms of what our plans with Max going forward sort of are.
Okay, great. Thank you.
The next question comes from Hans Bostrom of Credit Suisse.
Good afternoon. A couple of questions. I didn't quite capture what you said. Good afternoon. I just didn't capture what you said about your financing items. Did you give those on a half-year, second-half-year basis, a full-year basis? And there was also a comment about the equity aspect, if you wouldn't mind repeating that.
Sure. Included in the numbers for the first half, we had on the funding side, 319 million rands of interest costs that we then effectively replaced in towards the end of April with equity. So that's a non-recurring item. And the full year impact of that was 435 million. So that is effectively being replaced with equity.
Okay. So we're talking about the structural reduction in the interest cost reflected in this equity issuance.
That's right.
Okay. So would you give any guidance? I mean, obviously, given there's been quite a few movements here, for the actual interest net for the year, is that something you would be hazard to give?
Not at this stage. So when we release our final results, we will obviously give clear numbers, and we will do a trading update in the first week of November.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just a final reminder, should you wish to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one. And gentlemen, we don't have any questions in the queue. Do you have any closing comments?
So none from our side. I just want to thank everyone for participating. And as I said, so the president or the slides will go up on our website later this afternoon. And we look forward to seeing our results in November. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.